right, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of SideQuest Podcast. Listen in and level up. I have a great episode for you today, but first, as always, let's get through the show notes. If you're not following the Facebook page, head over to Facebook, type SideQuest Fitness into the search bar, and like the page. There, you're going to get updates on podcast episodes, articles when they get posted, and you're going to get a brand new taco recipe every Tuesday for Taco Camp. Plus lots of other shenanigans and nerd talk throughout the week. So make sure you head over to Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. My handle is SideQuestFM. If you want to see some cool videos and random stuff on Instagram as well, you can follow me on Instagram. Same handle, SideQuestFM. Or follow me on Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. Send me your questions. I want to get all the questions from you, help you as much as I can on your fitness journey or your journey in life, whatever it may be. But head over to Snapchat, SideQuestFit, follow me there. You get a little more personal, in-depth look at the shenanigans I get into throughout every day. But I do love getting questions from the community, so please send them out to me. If you have not left a review for the podcast, please head over to iTunes. If you're not listening on iTunes and you listen on SoundCloud or Stitcher, leave a review there as well. When you leave reviews, it helps me move up the charts on the iTunes store so that more people can see and hear the amazing guests that I've had on and have on each and every single week. So make sure you head over there. And don't forget, if you haven't picked up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss, head over to sidequestfitness.com/7principles and you can pick up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss. These are the same 7 principles I follow each and every day and teach my clients to help them shred away more body fat, unlock heroic strength, and just look better naked. So if you want to unlock strength or just look better naked in the mirror, head over again, grab those 7 principles of fat loss, and start following those today. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. So over the last few months, you have heard me talking about my online clients, and you've heard from a few of my online clients as well about what they've done on their fitness quest with me. With summer heading in, I am taking a few more clients on to help people get ready for summer, help you get ready for bikini season or swimsuit season, or maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've decided that that's it. You want to get in shape and you need someone to help you with your journey. On your journey, you need a Gandalf and a Samwise to guide you as you head into Frodo. And I am your Gandalf and Samwise all packed in to one. I am taking on a few more clients. If you are interested, head over to sidequestfitness.com/coach and check out the page. You can apply there. You can find out more about what coaching entails and also see some of the amazing transformations that my clients have had while working with me. So head over to sidequestfitness.com/coach and apply today. All right, guys, welcome to the show. I have a great show for you today. My boy Nick Sorrell returns to the podcast, comes back, and guys, whoo, get ready. He lights this motherfucker on fire. There is so much great stuff in this episode, and I'm going to be honest, you're going to get burned on this one. There's going to be some hard truths that come out. At the end, Nick just, he lets it go. He gives you the hard truth. So get ready. Get ready, because you're about to have the truth delivered straight to you. But this is a great episode. You're going to love it. Tons of great information. We dive into some really, really deep stuff. But the end, man, the end is where the fire is at. So get ready. All right, I'm going to shut up. Let's get into the show in here from the one and the only Nick Sorrell.
Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is, you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a plus 5 fierce. Got a low key Banff right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.
Alright guys, welcome to the show. I am breaking up the last few Coach's Corner guests that I've had on. You guys heard Adam Ali, Tanner Bays will be on soon. Whenever he can get off of Bumble and Tinder. Yeah, I called you out, B. What up? I got my boy Nick Sorrell back on the show, and I still butchered your last name, or did I finally get it right?
No, you drill it that time.
Yes!
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. I was going to make another Tanner Bates.
All this time. We've been friends for like 2 years now, and you finally got it.
I think I psyched myself out for so long, because like I would hear you say it, and then I would say it, and you were like, yeah. And then I in the back of my mind, I'd be like, no, you're going to fuck it up. No, you're going to fuck it up. You're going to fuck it up. And then I fucked it up. Do you have anything like that, Nick?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you have something that, like, you're sort of new to doing and you almost psych yourself out of it?
No, like, not right off the top of my head, but I know, like, you definitely have those things, like, where you've done it a million times, or maybe you've done it a million times before, it's been a while, like, and you go to redo it and you just overthink shit. It's like when you go talk to a girl, you know what I'm saying? And then you sound illiterate all of a sudden, like...
Yeah.
Just because, yeah. I don't know, you psych yourself up.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it happens in a ton of things. I mean, like, God, you put me on a basketball court, like, on a free throw line, and I'm like, yeah, I feel really good. But in the back of my head, I'm like, dude, you're gonna dink it off the back.
Yeah, that's actually a good example. Like, free throws especially. Like when you see, like, LeBron, like, he's worse in the free throw line than he is from the field, which, yeah. Not really, but he's, like, close. Like, I was listening to ESPN. He switched his free throw form like 17 times this year. I don't really know how that consists of, but it's a lot for like a professional athlete to be doing, just not being able to find what works.
Well, that's just the thing about free throws is when I was at Carolina basketball camp, I didn't have a ritual. I just basically like got the ball and just kind of looked at the goal and threw it up. And the coach was like, no, take your time. You need a ritual, something that like gives you a few seconds to get yourself focused and take a look at the rim and then go. But I can't imagine like changing your ritual. Sure. But like your form, like, was he shooting left-handed, one-handed, like with his elbow?
Maybe it's the ritual that he changed. I'm not sure. I was not like something about his free throw has been changed 17 times, which seems like a lot, like, well, which clearly he's just overthinking it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm over here criticizing the best basketball player on the planet, but whatever.
Well, but, I mean, you admit that. It's not like you're like, hey, you know, I could hit that fucking free throw, LeBron.
Yeah.
But I want to sort of stay in that vein because I know you work a lot with clients. I know you do have a few in-person clients and some group stuff, but you're doing online mostly now. But what's the one thing you notice when like you have someone come into one of your group challenges that you have? Like, what's one thing they mentally psych themselves out about?
You talking like online group stuff or yeah, like you talking in person?
You know what? Both. Give me both.
Okay. So I think a lot of times people like just get too caught up worrying about the wrong things. Worrying about macronutrient percentage as opposed to amounts, or worrying about sodium intake, or worried about, you know, what they saw on oxygen, or you know, whatever they, you know, they saw their friend show on Facebook. Or I just had a client text me earlier, like, hey, what do you think about allulose? Apparently it's something that's in the new Quest bars or something like that. And you have all these people worrying about like the wrong things, and they get so worried about the things that they let the things that matter slip, like their calories, their protein, their workouts. They let the big things slip because they're so worried about the other thing. That seems to be like a pretty, which I'm sure it's exactly how it is with your clients. Like people just kind of, they get, I don't know, paralysis by analysis, I guess.
I think in the Quest part,
I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah.
No, it does. I think in life, I almost want to equate it to relationships, but let's be honest, the little things tend to bug us more and the little things add up.
Oh God. Okay, yeah.
So yeah. So like that's kind of stuff you got to keep an eye on. But I think with health and fitness, it is that way. Like you said, you know, I had never heard of allulose, and I see the video that they have for these Quest Hero bars, which are okay. Like the vanilla caramel was like meh. Like it wasn't awful, but I was
He
like,
said that he tasted good, but like then I saw your Instagram story. You gave it like a 6.5 out of 10 or something.
Well, yeah, if you're gonna call yourself a fucking candy bar, like you better bring your A game. Like,
oh, is that like what they're pitching? Like that they're candy bars.
Yeah, as like a healthy candy bar. And number one, I want to say this to anyone who's listening. Most protein bars that were out before Quest were fucking candy bars.
Yeah. Like, all of them. All the good ones, anyway.
What's the one, not the the like Big Chef? I don't remember the guy's name or what it's called. But there's like 17 grams of fat, like 30 grams of protein, and like...
I'm sure it was like those big 100 bars, but they weren't that great. Have you ever had those, I think they're called like Supreme bars or something like that?
Yeah.
Those are pretty good, and they're just, they're like 400 calories. You know, right. Like,
but it's like, it's like a fucking candy bar.
It's a candy bar with protein in it, you know, like that's what it is.
Yeah. But I think that's a, you know, like focusing on the minutia, focusing on the little things, you know, it's flashy, you know, there's that new, that I'm just going to say Aloysius. I can't even say it. I don't even know. Like,
it's, yeah, like, I literally heard about it 30 minutes ago. Like before we got on our call, I had a client text me. He's like, "Hey, what do you think of Aloysius?" I'm like, "Dude, I've literally never heard of it." So I Googled it, examine.com, and it didn't pop up. And then I just Googled to search it normally. And of course the first one's Quest. And I started to see where this is going, that he just heard about a new supplement and wanted, you know, it's one of the things, like a lot of times, like the things that sound like too good to be true, like kind of are. So like, I know like their big thing is that allulose is like 1/10 the calories of a gram of carb. So it's like 0.4 calories per gram or something like that. So it's just like the same thing as like those fat blockers that people sell and stuff like that. And if you pay attention, like most people selling fat blockers and carb blockers and all that stuff, like specifically selling them, are not people that are super in shape themselves. So that's about all I got to say about that, you know? but it's just like, they're like, I don't know. It's like paralysis by analysis partially, because people do want to do the right stuff and they don't want to waste their time and they do want to get to where they want to be. But I think it's also like kind of people just like not wanting to like go after the things that matter. Like they don't want to like fight the resistance, to quote Star Wars. I don't know if that's a quote from Star Wars, but they just don't, I don't know. They want the easy way out.
We'll take it from the war of art.
Cliche, Stephen
Pressfield. No, it's not because I think the thing that, because I get questions all the time about stuff. And that's sort of, you know, we don't have an information, a lack of information. Like, information is out there. What we have is a lack of action. So if you're listening to this right now and you've been struggling, and you're like, oh, but, you know, this. No. Look, we can tell you that get your calories right. Take your body weight. Multiply it by 10. That's the calories that you need in a day. Track it in MyFitnessPal. And don't. And like, keep your protein at like 1 gram per pound of body weight. Or for men, start at 150 grams. Ladies, start at like 100 to 110. It's going to be a challenge for you to get there, but just start there. Do those things. That's what matters. Stop worrying about a fat burner, Aloysius, the new thing, or whatever the fuck it's called, allulose. Stop worrying. Like, all those small things don't matter. You're trying to take a pebble and throw a pebble at a mountain to knock it down, when what you need to do is just climb the fucking mountain and then move to the next thing. it's not information that you need more of. You need more action. So take some steps.
Yeah, it's totally more. And I think that goes to anything in life. Like, I had a friend text me, and I love him, but he's one of those people that can, like, he's been spinning his wheels a lot since he graduated high school. So he goes to college and he keeps switching his major, and he like keeps changing around the sport that he's pursuing. And then he joins the National Guard and he falls out of a career. And he's like, one of those guys that's like, you know, you talk to him, he's like, man, I just can't find my passion and stuff like that. And I think like, that's kind of like how stuff is. Like, people get so caught up trying to find like the pretty storybook Disney type stuff that they don't just like pull the trigger on something. Like, and that's what I told him, like, a certain point, like, you just got to pull the trigger and just do something. Worst case scenario, like, it doesn't work and then you try something else. But best case scenario, it does work and you're not sitting there spinning your wheels anymore, feeling lost or wasting your time or whatever.
Yeah. Nick, is there anything you've been spinning your wheels on lately?
Lately, I've been in a good spot lately. I'm one of those guys that, like, I do typically else. But here lately, I've been doing well. There for like a year or so, like I let my own personal fitness kind of like I would start and stop and, you know, decide to start on Monday or decide, you know, whatever, like self-justify things. So like my own fitness, I kind of actually let like slip there for a little while. And it got to the point where like, I don't know, like I kind of started to like revert back into bad habits. Cause for any of your listeners don't know, like I used to be a lot bigger. I lost 100 pounds. I weighed 270 pounds when I graduated high school. And I started to feel a lot of those same habits kind of slip into like fall back into place. And as they fell into place, I started to get a lot of those same poor feelings, like poor self-image, you know? And, I don't know. I got to the point, which I'm getting completely sidetracked here, but I got to the point where like, I decided like I did not want those things. And here in the last month or so, like I've been doing really well, as far as like just getting back on track and like, not even like crushing it, just doing the things needed to slowly get back into it and to feel better. And what's crazy is like, I was so reluctant, like to deal with all the suck of it all, you know, like the whole being hungry and being sore or just in my business, like working hard and being tired and exhausted, mentally drained. But despite all that, despite the fact that it has kind of stuck, like I just feel so much better since I've gotten back on track with all that.
What for you was the point that got you back on track? Like what fired you up and got you back into it?
I don't know. Like, cause it was so like slow happening. Like I started, like I knew what was going on that I was like letting other aspects of my life take priority. But like, despite that, like I just let it happen, even though I realized what I was doing. I think I just like hit the point where I was getting hurt a lot. So like I play flag football and I was just getting injured really frequently. And then we did so at this gym that I coach at, we did like a promo video or something like that. And seeing the video, like I was not as in shape as the other guys. And like, I think like that was really just like, okay, like I don't want to be that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be that a shape personal trainer. I don't want to be that. So like, and like, I don't know, like, it's weird, like, me just even talking about this, just because, like, it goes, like, hand in hand with my job. Like, dude, you're a trainer, like, a coach. Like, how are you going to let yourself do that? But I think it's just one of those things that, like, this fitness stuff, like, is hard, no matter how long you rhythm for years, you know? But, like, it happened. Like, I did, like, life happened, you know what I'm saying? And, I don't know, it's not, like, I'd rather put up with all the suck than be someone
I want to be. You'd rather put up with the suck than be something you don't want to be. Dude, I mean, you know, I'm going to agree with that. Like that's
yeah. I mean, we're on the same page.
Yeah. But I'm like
in that group and everything, but
yeah, I think that's something that is so scary to accept that you suck at something. Because we all want to be good, like, and not even in like the perfectionist sort of way, but just like you want to have those endorphins of feeling like you accomplished something, like you're competent.
Yeah, I just want to feel adequate. Yeah.
What's one thing you really suck at that you're trying to get better at, Nick?
Oh, okay. So I've been so many things going on that like it's been like little pieces here and there, but like think about like one or two. So I know like in my in-person coaching when I first got back into it, because I took like a lapse there while in-person coaching, I was solely online. And what's weird is there for a long time, like when I first got into the game, I thought you had to do in-person coaching to do online well. And then I started seeing people that never in-person coach do really well online. So I sort of like lost the appreciation for it. After taking the time off and coming back to it, I realized like there is a distinct edge you get by coaching in person, specifically with like cueing, like teaching people how to move correctly, taking the idea, like what's in your head as far as like what they should be doing and teaching them how to do that, like making that the same thing. So whenever I got back into it, like I didn't have that edge anymore. Like my game was off, and I've been working about getting that back, like in sync or whatever, as far as saying the right cues to get the clients to understand how to do the movement adequately. And as far as like online and stuff like that, like I've really just been like, so like throughout my entire life, like I don't know why, but I've gotten really lucky with a bunch of different experiences. Like when I coached at U of L, the University of Louisville, or like just various other situations, like I've gotten really lucky with opportunities. And I've always been one of those like kids who are just kind of lazy and just got by off whatever luck. I don't know. So at this point, like in my career, like I've had a bunch more lucky breaks working with people who took me underneath their wing and kind of helped my business develop. And I've been trying to like take it really, really serious because there's only so many times that I know I'm going to get lucky. So I'm trying to take this time and not waste it. I would hate myself if I wasted it. And then another opportunity just never came because I've gotten so many and just pissed them down the drain. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's like something necessarily, maybe just taking my shit more serious, I guess is the idea.
Dude, I want to roll with that. And I know that one thing with me being the podcast host is I am trying to make it less about me and always about my guests. But that, like what you said is so fucking true. Like that's the reason, like I can't explain it to my wife. She says she gets it, but I'm not sure if she really does. And maybe some other people don't get it. But like knowing that I didn't give my all to be an actor, like the last time I was in New York City, I went on like two or three auditions. I got one off Broadway show, and like not even like it's basically off Broadway. I can go into a long diatribe on how they determine all of that, but but anyways, so like I did a show, cool. Didn't really get anything else from the auditions, and I just got tired of the struggle and tired of getting up at like 4:30 a.m. to be at a coffee shop at like 6 and the train, and just like I hated it. I hated myself. I hated where I was in my life. You know, I was mad at myself because I never made it as a basketball player. I wanted to play at Carolina. I didn't give it my all. I just thought if I wanted it, I would get it. So that's why, like, you know, like you, dude, I'm going to give this my all. Maybe this is my last shot. Maybe I'm not lucky enough later on in my life, but I'll be damned if I don't go down swinging at this opportunity. And I want people, as you hear that, to think about that with fitness. Think about if you continue putting off where you are now, maybe you're 26 and you're a little overweight and you've had a conversation with yourself or with others and you know you need to lose some weight and you're like, I mean, I'm not bad. I'm not like to the point of so-and-so. Once I get there, then like I really need to like – lose some weight.
Yeah, like but legit. I think like what you just said. Like, if I just wanted, it's gonna happen. Like, that's exactly how, like I wanted to be an NFL player, and I remember like talking to like my brothers and stuff growing up. Like, hey, dude, do you think I can make it? And they're like, yeah, you're gonna make it. Which is ridiculous because I was not gonna make it. But I just thought like I just had this thing in my head. Like, if I just want something, like it'll happen. Like, I just wanted that. And then I just, you know, grew up as I got older. I just wanted to go to college and graduate. And I just wanted girls to like me. And I just wanted these things, but I never really worked for them. And what's crazy is, like, I had so many opportunities throughout my entire life to actually, like, get a lot of these things. But get a lot of those things I wanted. But because I expected it just to happen because I wanted it, I never got them because I wasted the opportunity. I never, like, worked for it. As I felt myself getting more out of shape again, like, I thought, you know, like, well, whenever I just want to do it again, I'm going to jump back on. I remember thinking that multiple times, like, I'm just going to wait until I'm motivated again and feeling it again because I got kind of burnt out, and then I'll fix it. And it never really came until, like I said, I saw myself in a video, and I was like, holy fuck, like, I got to fix this. Like, and I had to take action, like, even though, like, it's not necessarily that I wanted to take action. It's just, like, it was the only way. It was either that or to end up in some place I didn't want to be. Yeah. And that's, like, I don't know, like, exactly what you're saying. Like, I don't know, that whole wanting thing's interesting because I think a lot of people do that. Like, they want something, like my buddy who I was talking about earlier, that, you know, keeps spinning his wheels and can't pull the trigger on anything. Like, he just wants something to grab him by the balls and be his passion. Like, oh, I found this thing and I'm so passionate about it. Like, and I think that's like I think you can be passionate about anything that you work hard for. And I think that's why, like, a lot of guys get so caught up in these girls that, like, friend zone them and stuff like that. Like, they're not in love. The girl keeps saying no, I have to work, and they get all fucking passionate about it. Like, I think you'd be passionate about anything that you're good at and anything that you work hard at. But people don't ever want to work hard. They just, like, want these things. And I'm saying people, like, on a broad spectrum. I know it's not everybody, but apparently it was me, and sounds like it was you at certain points, too. So I think there's a lot to that, like the whole, like, just because you want something does not mean it's going to happen at all.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And it's you know, that's, God damn it. Fuck you. Fuck you, Mick Jagger, M. Jagger. Like that was a big inspiration. So, funny story about getting what you want, and that song, and why that lyric sort of inspired that article that I put up on the 9 things you want out of diet and exercise that you won't get. Before I went to try out for middle school basketball, which I felt I had a really good chance of making the team, I had grown up playing Little League with all the guys who were, like, expected to make the team. Like, we all were on, like, either the same team or, like, the 2 best teams that met in the championship game all the time. So I knew those guys. I played against those guys. And 2 songs within the hour that I was supposed to go try out came on the radio. You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. And me being a very impressionable, like, teenager was like, no, it's a sign from heaven. And on the way, literally in the car, on the way to my tryout, Unanswered Prayers by Garth Brooks. And I'm just like, God damn it. You know what? I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. And I immediately went into that thinking I'm not going to get this. And just like we mentioned when we started the podcast, like, it was already in my brain. Like, I wasn't going to make the team. I wasn't going to make the team because I had already decided I wasn't going to make the team. And I know we've both had clients where, like, or friends who come to us with this thing. They're like, oh man, I want this thing. And they're like, yeah, but I don't think I can do it. Right there. You just put a limiting behavior on yourself.
Yeah.
I can't lose this 30 pounds. You know what? Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You can't. Because what you tell yourself, whether you can or you can't, is exactly what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, it's really true. You hear it all the time. Like, people like, well, I was going to, then I got stressed, or I started running late and I picked up McDonald's, or I had something come up, or what, like, they start making all these things, and, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause no one's, like, that fucking busy. You know what I'm saying? Like, to where they can't, but if you want something, like, it happens. I don't know. We talked earlier, like, I mentioned in the group, like, I think a lot of, like, overweight people stay that way because they don't hate it enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're actually, like, okay with it. Like, they don't like it, but they're okay enough with it or it's going to happen. It's the people who actually, like, are not okay with it that makes something happen, which goes in the face of what, you know, where a lot of people push. But, like, you talk to anyone that changes anything, like, really changes their physique, body, their life, whatever, like, they did not like where they were at. Mm-hmm. You never hear, like, well, I like being fat, but I figured, why not? I'll lose 100 pounds. Like, it doesn't happen like that. And it's pretty and it's nice. And, like, if you are happy like that, you know, like, sure, whatever. But, like, people who actually do think that they want to make a change, like, trying to accept where you're at, like, that's one thing. But, like, being okay with staying there is not okay.
I think that I will give this story, and maybe it provides some context, and I don't know, but this is just the story that came to my mind while you were talking about that. Growing up, you know, my dad was, I think the heaviest I ever saw my dad was maybe 325, maybe 350. I want to say maybe 360. Like, I remember my dad being a very, very big dude. And my dad's 6'2". Like, I'm kind of mad my genetics are far shorter.
You're still, like, a taller dude in the fitness industry, though.
Dude, my dad's shoulders are so fucking broad. Like, my delts might look great, but, like, I look at my dad's shoulders and, like, God damn it, I could have an upper body like a fucking beast if I just had a few more inches and your build. But I remember him saying at dinner with my mama, we'd be out to eat, and he would see a guy, you know, someone who was, I mean, and I'm talking like 4'5", like the someone who had to be pushing well over 400 pounds, maybe close, maybe between 4 and 5. I mean, like we've seen people that obese, and he, and I literally heard him say to my mom, if I ever get that big, shoot me in the head. And all
you hear that a lot.
And all I could think, all I could think was like, but dad, you don't have to let yourself get that big. Like what, like you can take, you can make the steps to not do that. But I think for me,
I did the same. Don't want to admit that, because if you admit that it's like your fault, you know what I'm saying? Like if it ever happened, like if you admit that you're able to change things, if it happens, it's your fault, and people don't want to take fault. You know what I'm saying? Because if they're at fault, then something's wrong with them.
Right.
So I think people they don't want to take ownership, because if things do go wrong, well, that's their fault. You know, does that make sense at all?
No, it does. And I sort of where I was going with that is I think sometimes we put these, cause I know I did it for myself as well. And I can only really talk about my story, cause that's what I know.
Right.
Is that like, we put this far end spectrum, like this line, like if we cross this line, then it's all over with. We're done. Like, you know, that's unacceptable. And I know for me, I was like, if I get over 200 pounds, like, to me, over 200 pounds is going to put me close to where my dad was. And I've already seen what's happened with my dad and my aunts, and like what that is. I don't want to be like that. So if I go over 200 pounds, like,
yeah,
then I'm fucked. But like at like 194, I was like, oh yeah, I'm totally okay. Like I'm good. And then the day I saw 212, I flipped my fucking shit and was like, oh my God. And I didn't think I weighed 212. I thought I looked 194, but I wasn't. And I think so many times we, and I can only say in my past, and I say we generally, but I do think a lot of people put this thing of like, well, I'm not there yet, so like I don't need to clean up my act. I mean, how many times have we had, you know, people in our families who doctors have told them, you know, if you don't stop smoking, oh, well, you know, I only smoke a pack a day. My friend Roger smokes like 2 packs a day. Like, I'm not a 2-pack a day smoker. And then the 1-pack a day smoker is the guy who gets lung cancer, and the 2-pack a day smoker lives till he's 75, and then everyone wants to use the 75-year-old 2-pack-a-day smoker as, like, you know, the outlier for...
Well, it's like a justification thing, which we all do. Every single person does it. It's just one of those things that you reach for to validate, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And by using, like, an outlier, an extreme, or whatever, like, we're able to, like, feel better subconsciously or whatever about whatever we're doing, and you see it like at a complex level, and you see it like at a real simplistic, should be obvious level as far as like the smoking or weight loss or whatever.
Yeah. I sort of want to, cause I think, you know, we, in our group, me, you and Tanner and Adam, we talk a lot about fighting the dragon, and that's the thing, is like, that's a dragon people are afraid to face, because, you know, it's like, you know, the dragon is in another village, like he's fucking up another village, but he hasn't got their village yet. You know, it's sort of like, you know, it's like all the, you know, the I want to say, you know, it was sort of like certain people didn't want to fight countries for a while. And I'm thinking in history, and I'm trying to think of, I want to say Sparta and Persia. You know, but like the Persians are moving in. They're like taking over some like, you know, Greek cities, but they're not like Spartan cities. They're like, you know, other Greek cities. They're like, man, whatever. They're over there. They're not going to fuck with us. And then as soon as they start threatening them, like they, you know, kick up into action. But I think a lot of people are afraid to fight those demons. What is something you would say to someone?
Well, have you ever seen like,
go ahead.
Have you heard that or watched that? There's a JP video where he tells a story about like a kid telling his mom about a dragon. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. Do you remember it?
Yeah. So it kind of went like, so there's like this little bitty dragon, and the kid goes and tells his mom, "Hey, mom, like house." No, son, there's not a dragon. So the dragon gets a little bit bigger, and like pretty much like the long story short is like he keeps telling her that there's a dragon. She's like, no, dragons are real. Can't be there. Like, it's not a prop. It's not real. And the dragon just keeps growing and growing and growing until, like, it's bigger than the house that they're in. And finally, she's like, you know, like, oh, yeah, there's a dragon there. Like, it's one of those things that, like, if you keep, like, the longer you put off addressing the dragon, whatever the dragon is, you know, your problem, the bigger it gets until it's so big that you can't deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, it's engulfed you. It's ate you, you know? That's kind of like the long story short. And I think a lot of people do that. Like they just try to, like, ignore it or whatever. So JP talks a lot about, like, bills, and I think that's a really good example because it's exactly what happens with them, where you try to, like, ignore the bill, like, oh, I'll get it later. I'll get it later. And what was, like, a $10 bill ends up turning into some kind of crazy, like, $300, $400 fee because you just kept ignoring it until it grew into something that, you know, hit your wallet hard, you know? So I think that's kind of, like, how a lot of that stuff works. People just try and ignore it. They try and feel better, or the go to whatever, like, makes them feel better, which a lot of times is whatever makes them feel better is exactly what's causing the problem in the first place. And it just, like, it's like this real vicious cycle until it gets so big that it just destroys you, you know, is her
buckets. Yeah. I mean, you have that experience where, like, you kind of fell off the wagon for a little while. And I use that term colloquially. That is a really fucking hard word for me to say. I don't know why.
Yeah, that, like, sounds terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a speech impediment as a kid, so there are still certain things that I think my brain, even like 30 years later, is just kind of like, this is a weird thing. But, like, you know,
it's like whenever you're trying to spell a word, you can't spell it right, so you replace the word with a new word, you know?
Oh, like fucking calendar? I swear to God, I can never spell calendar. Like, every time in an email, I'm like, I'm sending a Google calendar.
Dude, receive.
L-A-N.
I always fuck receive and guarantee. Always.
Oh, receive and receipt? Yeah, it's fucking, because aren't they the two? Right. There's
like, what's, like, that I before C, that rule that actually isn't a rule, like, it's wrong 70% of the time or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking English. Speaking of English.
Yeah. Like, Nick. Like me falling Nick. Off the wagon. Like, exactly. Like, I just kept, like, oh, I'll get it later. I'll get it later. I'll get it later. And then I realized, like, I saw a picture. I'm like, holy fuck, there's a dragon on screen. Like, yeah. And I couldn't ignore it at that point. And I think that's how a lot of people get, like, they keep putting things off until, you know, they keep putting off getting a career until they're 30 years old and they're still living with their mom, or they keep putting off the diet until, you know, they realize they're single because they can't find someone that finds them attractive, and they put off brushing teeth and going to the dentist until they realize that all their teeth have fallen out, and, like, all this other stuff, like, these things that you just keep putting off, like, and, like, we see these things and we think of them as, like, being funny, but, like, a lot of living these things, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Where there's, like, something that's seriously wrong, but we just keep putting it off and, like, justifying it certain ways. Like, I traditionally have never written as much as I should, to keep putting off, like, well, I'll write later, or, well, I don't have anything to say, or, you know, well, whatever. And you keep putting these things off, and it gets to the point where, like, it gets so far gone that you're not even sure if you can catch it anymore. Like, it's just like a runaway train, and, you know, like, can you stop it kind of deal. And I think a lot of people at that point, like, we're in weird spots because, like, it's our job is to, like, attack these things and try to figure out how to stop them. And, like, as far as weight loss, like, I've stopped it before and stuff. But a lot of people, they let these things go, and by the time they're so far gone, they don't know how to stop it. So at that point, it's just a runaway train and they can't handle it. Like, which is weird to think maybe for me and you, but a lot of people just, like, they can't, you know what I'm saying? At that point, like, they die unhappy, and that's fucked up to say and think about and stuff like that. But, like, a lot of people end up that way. And it's like one of those things, like, you think about people, like, getting, I don't know, like, having tragedies happen to them, and you're like, oh, that must be terrible. You never think of it happening to you. No one thinks of that. Like, no one thinks of dying in a car crash. But somebody is going to be doing this. Somebody's going to die happy. And, like, it could be you. Like, you, I don't know, like, these things are really, really real, and people, like, don't realize, like, they realize they happen to tons of people, but they just don't think, oh, it's not gonna happen to me.
Yeah.
And the truth is, like, it probably will, unless you do something. And it goes back into that action thing. You know what I'm saying? Not just wanting it not to happen or assuming it won't happen. Like, everything really comes down to action. And people, there's, I don't know. And then, I don't know. There's like this thing, you know what I'm saying, that people just don't want to address.
I kind of want to move away from that, because I was going to ask you about writing, and I'm glad that you brought that up. No, because I think you are an amazing writer, and I think when you write and I see it, it's like one, I get really excited on the inside, because I really I love your style. I love how you create a good story. I love how, like, you make a really good hook, and then, like, you put it on the right alignment. So I've totally stolen that from you. If anyone's read
my stuff, dude, yeah.
But it's really good. Cause cause, like, it's a great way to make a point. Cause you put it,
you want to know where I think I got that from?
Where?
So I was reading online. I was reading like a text conversation. You know, like how, like, yours coming on the right and theirs coming on the left. So, like, I started just adding that, like, kind of into my, like, writing. Like for people that don't know what you're talking about, like, there's alignments, you know, in an article. Like, most of the time it's from left to right and it's all centered to the left. Well, I occasionally come with, like, my voice or an outside voice or something like that and throw it in from the right, kind of like a narrator type voice. I sort of just gotten it from reading, like, funny texts and stuff like that.
I think that's genius, dude. And that's something that is completely different in the game. But you mentioned, you know, writing for you, you put it off. But you do a really good job of writing, like, on Facebook and social. What, like, you're very concise when you do it. So why do you feel you struggle, like, to expand and write 1,000 words versus, you know, 140.
So I think, so what happens a lot is that I get ideas as I'm doing things. So I've been going to church with my girlfriend and stuff like that. And I'll get an idea there. I'll hear something, just get an idea. And I can't really just run home and do it. Or I'll be at the gym and I'll get an idea. Or I'll be training people and I get an idea. So it's really easy for me in those moments to just kind of like write it in my notes or something like that. And from there, I think it's just me messing up. And later I'll go back to my, like, I have like 250 notes or something like that of, like, just little tidbits and thoughts and things that just, I never really posted. I think really where I'm messing up is I'm not taking it and fully expanding it. I'm just kind of leaving it there. I think it's really just me not, like, what we talked about, like, kind of not taking action with it. Like, I just kind of leave it and throw it in there, and every now and then I will get like, man, I need to go home and write this, and then I lose the motivation, just kind of let that go because I don't take action and lose that momentum and kind of just keep spinning my wheels in that regard.
Gotcha.
I think a lot of lately, actually, because I've thought about this here lately, is I've been putting off a lot until here recently. I've been having to write, like, lessons. I'm running, like, a fitness challenge right now. I've had to write lessons, and my business coach, he gives me like a deadline. Okay, we need to lesson up by this time, and I just have to do it. And I hear lately I've been struggling because, like, a lot of my first writing was, like, good, like, really good, and I started to, like, kind of get like, man, I feel like I've gotten worse or something like that. And here lately I've been writing these lessons and I haven't gotten worse. Like, I think I've actually gotten better just as I've learned more. But I think, like, there's that, like, that fear, and I don't want to write this shit and it sucks. But that fear is exactly, like, I feel like it's like one of those things. It's like a signifier. It's the things you're afraid of. The things, like, you feel pushed back from are exactly the way you need to go. Like, Jordan Peterson has that, like, quote that goes something like, the thing you want most is behind the door you want to open least, kind of thing. And pretty much saying, like the thing you want to do the very least is exactly what you need to be doing. And it's like something we've all kind of felt in certain ways as far as, like, not wanting to do things, like dreading going to the gym, dreading eating right, dreading going to class, being out and wanting to go talk to that girl, but being petrified to do so. I think all these different things, like, we see them as like red, you know, like stop signs and stuff like that, when really I think, like, they're direct signifiers of exactly what we should be doing. And at that point, I think it's just kind of like reading them as what they are and not just letting them, you know, Medusa us or whatever.
You know, that's the, I think the big thing I've taken away from Jordan Peterson is just the touching into all of mythology that he does. And
yeah,
how it actually is a great archetype for just like living our life and our life in general.
Yeah.
What for you, Nick, like what is your Medusa? What freezes you and stops you from taking action?
I think, let me think about it. So I think part of it's like trying and like, so I want these things. Like I'm kind of like a dreamer by nature, which I think is not a good thing. At least traditionally for me. So I like, I have all these ideas and big aspirations and this and that. And I think maybe subconsciously, and like I'm not really sure, but I've thought about this a little bit. Like, I think maybe my Medusa, the thing that freezes me is like, I don't want to like take the shot and like realize like, oh shit, like I'm actually not going to succeed the way I want to, or I'm actually not going to do this or not going to do that. Like it was all really just like a false dream. I think maybe that's what freezes me. I think maybe that's what freezes a lot of people.
Is that you're afraid it's a false dream and that it's not really what you should
want for? Yeah, like, you know, like, exactly. Like, man, I'm going to make it doing this, or I'm going to be able to do that. And then you try and you're like, oh, fuck, like, I'm actually not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think, like, I don't know, like, I guess, like, afraid of failure. But, like, not even just failure, just, like, not doing what I hope to do. It's like if you, like, I know, like, you wanted to be a basketball player and all that stuff. Like, if, like, you had these big aspirations and stuff like that, and you went to try for the team, and you were always like, oh, fuck, I suck at basketball. Like, holy shit. Like, that kind of thing. Not that you suck. You're a good basketball player. But.
Well, I wasn't as great as I could have been, because all I want, like, I thought the simple act of wanting something and being a good boy, you know, and not being, you know, dotting my I's and crossing my T's and saying my prayers and doing all of that would like get me what I wanted. Like God would smile upon me and give me that gift. But like, you can't just want something. Like,
yeah,
you have to take action to get it. And I didn't know that as a kid. Like, I wish I knew that as a kid. And I think one thing that sort of tripped me up is, you know, you can be anything, you can achieve your dreams, you can be anything you want to be, but no one tells you what that word be actually involves. Like, you just think, if I think it, I can be it. Yeah, but there's a whole lot of work that goes into making those two letters actually come out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the deepest
thing for sure. I've like,
in a long time.
People don't want, like, that's what kind of like people think they want to like be fit, or I keep talking about fitness just because that's like what we do, and I know like we actually talk about a lot more than that, but people want to be fit or whatever, but like they actually don't, like, or I guess they do, but they don't want to like actually be it, like you were talking about. So like they want to have like a six pack or whatever, but they don't want to like be hungry, and they don't really want to go to the gym, and they don't really want to do that stuff over and over and over and over. And that's kind of like everything, like people want to, so like there's a lot of people in our field, like they want to be online entrepreneurs, but they don't really want to be broke, and that kind of is part of it at the beginning. And they want to be writers, but they don't want to sit down and get that first sentence on the page, and they want to, you know, be these big content creators with big followings, but they don't want to look stupid on camera. You know what I'm saying? Like, they, like every, all this, the bigger the goal, the more it sucks at the beginning. There's like a direct inverse correlation for most people. And there's like exceptions, like LeBron James, we were talking about earlier, who probably was like hitting threes from the get go. But for most of us, like the bigger the dream, the more it's going to suck at the beginning. I think it's almost like a natural barrier. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like this organic thing that happened to keep the people out who don't actually want it. You know what I'm saying? Which maybe it's not actually that, but that's like how it's happened.
I mean, as much as I want to say it's very much like evolution. It kind of is. The strongest survive.
Yeah.
And like you can't, you know, it comes down to this. It comes down to this. And JP talks about this a lot. It comes to sacrifice. He was talking mm-hmm. about the story of Cain and Abel. And I'm going to write about this because I've mentioned it a few times in podcasts before, but I don't know how many like people who actually read my stuff know that at one time I wanted to be a minister. So like I have a decent understanding of biblical things, but the way he presented Cain and Abel and, you know, Cain being upset that his sacrifice wasn't good enough, it kind of made me think about like, you know, you have two friends, you know, who start a challenge, you know, a weight loss challenge. And one friend makes all the right sacrifices. He stops drinking on the weekends heavily. He starts eating, you know, more lean protein and veggies. And the other person kind of like half-asses it. They still go out and get plastered on the weekends. They don't really do as much. And then in 6 months, the one guy is like shredded and ripped. And the other guy looks better, but he doesn't look like what he wanted when what his friend got exactly what he wanted. So, like, then you have things like, oh, man, you know what? You're on fucking steroids. Like, yeah, you fucking cheated. Like, you did all this. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. you didn't make the right sacrifices. And I think that is the hardest thing to understand is that, yes, you can lose weight and you can look better naked and you can feel a lot better about yourself. You can be stronger and you can increase your health markers without ever having to, like, count calories. You can totally do that. Many systems out there help you do that. But if you want to like have some amazing transformation and you want to look like something else, if you want to look like a guy on a fitness magazine, let me tell you what you're going to have to do. One, you're going to have to bust your ass. Two, you better get really, really good with being hungry. You better understand that like you're going to be irritable. You're not going to be able to go out with your friends. You're not going to be able to eat out. You're going to have to like make sacrifices and eat the things you don't want to eat. Then you're going to have to do even crazier things, like drink 3 gallons of water for like 3 straight days for like every day, 3 gallons a day. Then you're going to stop mm-hmm. drinking that water for like 24 hours, work out, and then like carb up. Yeah. So you pull like you do all this water. You're going to do a lot of things. Look at the UFC fighters who like drain all the water out of their body for a weigh-in. And then they fucking seize up like after.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Nate Green did an article like that where he went through like an MMA weight cut where you lose like 20 pounds in a day and then gain it back.
Yeah.
That's and, like, crazy shit. But muscles, like that's what it is. Clinch. Like people think they want those things. Yeah. But like they don't, they just want the magazine cover. Like they don't want all those other things. No, you don't want it. And that sounds like mean and hard and stuff like that, but like it's true. And what's tragic, or I guess maybe not tragic, but unfair, is like to get to 10% body fat or whatever someone's goal is. Like for you, it might be way harder than it is for me, or vice versa. And like that sucks, but like it's just kind of the cards you got dealt, and that sucks because we want everybody to be like equal and have you know the same opportunity and stuff like that. But like sometimes like. You do just get dealt shit cards, and you can either like rise to that and fight and achieve anyway, which is going to be hard as hell, or you can just let it crush you and define you. Like, oh, he was dealt shit cards, so he became a shit person. And that's not like a pretty thing, but like it's what the fuck happens, you know?
I'm going to say this because JP said it in his Maps of Meaning course, and it's something that has stuck with me, and it applies to this right here. If the world isn't laying itself out the way you see as acceptable, you're faced with a choice. Either the world is out to get you or you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think we live in a world where the world is out to get you. Now, yes, obviously throughout like history, like nature's going to do its thing. Like we've learned to cope and survive with that, which is why we have survived as long as we have. But you're going to blame genetics. Oh, genetics is out to get me. Genetics is making it possible. It is making it impossible. I said that for the longest time. But you know what? I will never have a six pack if I have to give up a six pack. Well, you know what? I didn't actually really want a six pack that much, obviously. I wanted that look, but I didn't want to make the sacrifices. You know, and I thought for years, well, you know, my dad's overweight and obese. My aunt is the same way. My other aunt's the same way. My grandmother was like that for a long time. My grandfather is a skinny rail, but that's because I think he was injected with like secret CIA serum that just made him a fucking superhero. I'm not kidding. He was in the CIA. The dude could give me a 25-yard head start and catch up to me when I was like 8 years old and he was like 50. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's crazy. I think that stuff's like, well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You're like with your clients, like I'll say with mine, then I'll ask you if yours are the same, but like with my most successful clients, it wasn't the tools that I gave them and it wasn't, you know, just them having a free lifestyle or tons of money to afford coaching.
All right, guys, sorry about that. I had a technical difficulty with Skype, but Nick, I want you to finish that thought. So,
So the X factor, it seems like with people who make changes and stuff like that, it isn't the clients that have I'm like paraphrasing now because I feel like I just talked about it, but it is the X factor isn't like the clients that like have the money to afford coaching. It isn't the people who have like the really free lifestyle and low stress and don't work a ton of hours and the ones with good genetics. It seems like a lot of times the people who make the changes are the people that decide to fight and decide to make the change and stuff like that. So like a lot of times like people, you know, like it almost feel like there's like this like imposter syndrome sometimes. People are like, because I typically get good results with my clients, I've gotten lucky to get a lot of people that want to make the change. So I want to ask you, like, do you feel like that's like the same with like a lot of your clients that have made the change? Do you think it's just them actually attacking it?
I think some people have reached a point where there's no going back. They've hit rock bottom. Some people will not hit rock.
Yeah.
Their rock bottom is the moment a doctor tells them, if you do not lose weight and get your health in check and exercise, you will have a heart attack and you will not be at your daughter or your granddaughter's wedding. Like that's the shit that like some people will not do until they hit rock bottom. For some, that may be too late. And for some at that point, they're going to say, I don't care, whatever. I'm just going to keep living. My grandfather was like this and he was fine because they're going to think it can't happen to them.
Yeah. I don't understand.
But I think for many people, many of them do hit rock bottom. Many of them are coming at a time when they're ready to make a change and they think it's going to be easier and it turns out to be a little bit harder than they thought. And for them, it's a longer process. You know, I will tell most people, you know, they're like, you know, I want to have a transformation in 4 months. Okay, cool. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. You can have a great transformation in 4 months. I don't know what it can be, but the one you probably want, unless you want to like be a hermit and live in your room by yourself and eat chicken, rice, and broccoli every day, and you can do that, you might want to extend that to about 8 months. Really, according to some literature, you might want to extend that to about a year, but
yeah,
you know, it's hard for people to understand that life is going to come up and sucker punch you at times and knock you off your route on your journey. I think the X factor for some people is just that, you know what, I'm done. I want to do this. I'm ready to go. And they give it their all.
Yeah.
And I think the sub X factor of that is having a coach like myself or you who shows people that we are in it with them, that we are beside them, that we are going to lead them and we are going to help them, and being empathetic and showing them that they now have someone by their side to help them and they don't have to do this alone.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Cool.
Cause I think people are like at a fragile spot when that stuff happens, you know what I'm saying? Whether they're beat down to their knees because of a health scare or because, you know, their wife left them or whatever. And they're at like a really fragile turning point to where they're either that's it, like they're just going to become like a shell of themselves, or things are just going to end or whatever, like in whatever way you want to take that, or they're going to stand back up and fight. And I think a lot of times having that person to hold their hand, not necessarily hold their hand, but kind of show them the way, is like a really important factor, like you said.
Yep.
Maybe not as important as the decision to fight, but just as important, you know, right there with it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Nick, we're winding up here. This little second segment I had to record will be very short because overall time wise, we're right near an hour. Is there anything you want?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
To leave listeners with, before we go, anything you want to tell someone who's maybe sitting on the fence, you know, about anything, or just a Nick Sorrell tidbit of wisdom.
I think like a big thing that people need to realize is like wherever you're at in life, more or less, it's kind of your fault. And that's either like the worst news possible or it's the best news possible. And I think that's something like people just really need to grasp, and they can either stay there or they can go somewhere else. But it really kind of falls on their shoulders, and it's not that easy, but at the same time, it kind of is.
Yeah. You have many things can happen to you in life that you do not have a choice in. I don't have a choice if, you know, I'm driving to work and a car comes careening across lanes of traffic and hits me head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm driving to work. Someone made a choice, or someone, like, some shit happened and that happened. You know, and maybe I'm in an accident, or maybe, you know, for me, it was my relationship with my father growing up. I hated him. I loathed him. I did not want to be like him. And in part, I had to realize that much of my suffering came from the fact that I was choosing to hate him and not make different choices. I was choosing to hate the parts of me that were influenced by him. And that put me in some very bad places. And you're right that, like, life is about reacting most of the time. And even taking action on something is that you're reacting to something that you don't want to happen in the future. Like, us eating better and, like, exercising is me preemptively reacting to not wanting to hear a doctor say, Robbie, you need to lose weight or you're going to have a heart attack and die. You know, so where you are in your life, yes, you can make a choice that will continue to where you are, or you can make a different choice, which could change everything. And it just comes down to you. You are responsible for your choices and what you put out into the world and the actions you make. So Nick, I love that, man.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah.
Guys, if you don't already follow Nick, basically on Facebook, I've really lost it on Twitter. Find him, Nick Sorrell, Sorrell, Nick. Find him on Facebook and follow Nick. Nick is an amazing one. Like I said, one of the best writers in the fitness industry when he does put out content, but he's usually putting out really good, just pithy content on Facebook every day. And some of it is just short, sweet, and to the point, and just hits you right in the feels. So make sure you're following him on Facebook and connecting with him. So, brother, I got to thank you so much for coming back on the show. And maybe we can ring all the boys up again for another Coach's Corner sometime soon.
Yeah, it'd be fun, man. Thanks for having me on.
Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment, and the quest is you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a plus five fierce. Got a low-key Banff right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.